That's right, my friends. Sports Open Line here on KMOX tonight on this hot Thursday night. Greg Damon hanging out with you all the way till 8 o'clock. We are still in the strike zone, and What's on Deck is sponsored by Chesterfield Fence and Deck. Of course, you can check them out at ChesterfieldFenceandDeck.com. Excuse me, ChesterfieldFence.com. And welcome back to KMOX's Sports Open Line. We're going to visit with Rob Raines. He's a Cardinals beat writer on STL Sports page. And Rob, thanks so much for joining us here on the Strike Zone.
I'm happy to be here, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself on this hot Thursday?
Trying to stay cool. Yeah.
That's right. Trying to stay cool. That's what everybody's doing. Hey, I want to talk a little about Cardinal baseball, obviously. Let's just jump right into it. Let's talk about Miles Michaelis's almost no-hitter the other night. Boy, that was sure exciting to watch, that's for sure. I just hated to see it getting broke out.
Yeah, I really kind of thought when he got through the start of the ninth that maybe he might get it. You know, you've seen kind of guys come close before. Michael Wacha a couple times in recent years. One, 2013, the exact same way, two outs in the ninth inning. But, you know, once he got the first two outs, I thought he might have a shot. But I understand, you know, it was tough that, you know, they got the hit there. But if you're going to lose a no-hitter on one out to go in the ninth, I'd rather it be on a solid hit that, was a legitimate, well-earned, hit than, the one like where Wacha lost his, when Ryan Zimmerman just hit it like a little chinky infield single. And I know what Bader was doing, and all the outfielders. I mean, they were playing in more shallow than they normally do because they wanted to cut down that little bloop hit, And I guess with the guy who was batting, Cal Mitchell, who's only had 11 hits in the big leagues, a rookie, they thought there was a lot better chance of him hitting a little flare behind second base than he would have been hitting the ball to the center field wall. So they were playing the percentages, and it just didn't work out. He got close. I don't know, maybe inches, a foot, something like that, away from catching it, but was also close. But it just goes to show again how hard it is to get a no hitter and how fluky it is. That some days it happens and some days it doesn't. I mean, you look at as great a catcher as Yadier Molina is, as many years as he has in the big leagues, he's never caught one. The fact that there hasn't been one by either team in St. Louis at the new ballpark, Cardinal hasn't thrown a no hitter in St. Louis since Bob Forrest in 1983. So those things are just really, really hard to get, and that's why it makes it so special.
Yeah, I guess Bud Smith was on a road. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
And so, him and us too in 99. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to ask you, so as a player, as Miles is on the mound, do you think he gets jitters? Do you think he watches it? Do you think he can block it out?
Well, I think the pitcher knows. I think everybody in the ballpark knew. Anytime, it's one of those old traditions that and especially a guy like Miles, he's always active in the dugout. He wants to talk to everybody. He's a very, fun-loving kind of guy. And the tradition in baseball is when a pitcher's got a no-hitter going, you leave him alone,
Right.
So he got kind of bored out there, in between innings, don't even talk to him. He had to sit in the dugout and all by himself. So that gives you even more time to think about it. So And that's why, you don't see, a guy will go six, maybe seven no-hit innings, but then it gets, broken up more times than not sometime along the seventh or eighth inning. So just to get to as close as he did is still, pretty historic in Cardinal lore over the years.
Right. So let's flip it around a little bit. So here you are up to bat. You got 11 big league hits. I mean, are you...
I think you're playing with house money at that point. There's no pressure on the hitter. I mean, he knows that the pressure's on the pitcher. He's just up there trying to do his thing, and if he does, great. And if he doesn't, then you tip your cap to the pitcher. So yeah, I think everybody on the other team wants to break up a no hitter. They don't want to be no hit. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these guys are all professional athletes. They all compete to win every day. And still don't want to. They don't want to throw the goose egg up. There's no doubt about that. Hey, let's talk. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Pittsburgh. I was going to say Pittsburgh already had a game this year. They threw a no hitter and lost the game. So they don't have that happen again. That's an even rarer occurrence.
Hey, let's talk about Jack Flaherty on the mound. He was obviously on a pitch count, and he even said he was nervous and had to slow himself down. It seems like Jack's been kind of injured here the last couple of years. You think this is going to be a continuing trend?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think, he really hasn't pitched a whole lot for the last 3 years because of COVID first and then the way they brought him back and then now the shoulder thing. But he's still young. He's a terrific, talented guy. And I'm not, once he gets, back in rhythm and back in sync and going every fifth day and stuff, I think he'll be fine. I mean, just certainly have the whole second half of the season plus to go. It's a lot of starts, you know, 17, 18 starts probably that he'll make this season. So it's a lot of time for him to get right. And as long as that shoulder's okay and that he's healthy, he's going to be fine. So, yeah, I'm a little surprised that he had so many nerves, but I think it was just because of the long layoff.
Oh, absolutely.
And the fact that he you know, didn't really have – he only had two rehab starts in the minor leagues, you know, which in retrospect probably was a mistake in judgment. You know, they probably should have done at least one more. But I don't know, he might have hit the same, even after one more rehab start in the minors, he might have still had the same anxiety and nerves and stuff of getting back on the mound the first time. But now that's out of the way, so he doesn't have to worry about that again.
What about coming up here in Boston, Adam Wainwright versus Michael Wacha?
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Well, yeah, that's going to be a great, I mean, that's everybody's going to tune in for that.
Wacha's been pitching really good for them. You know, he's had, you know, he's kind of probably been out of sight, out of mind for a lot of Cardinal fans after the last couple of years because he pitched for the Mets and he went to Tampa Bay and not a, you know, had some injuries, stuff of his own that he was kind of dealing with. But he's been off to a really good start for them. And, you know, I think Wainwright will be excited to get up there. It's just, for, you know, he did, of course, pitch in the playoffs up there, but didn't the World Series, but has not made a start at Fenway in the regular season in his career. So that's kind of a rarity by itself. So, you know, this is, as much as I'm not really a fan of interleague play, which I know is, you know, going to change next year when they're going to play everybody every year. But the kind of series where you go to Yankee Stadium or go to Fenway, that is fun. I mean, I think you tune in for those games a little bit more than you would some, you know, Pittsburgh or, you know, Cincinnati or somebody like that.
No, absolutely. Can't agree more. So let's talk a little about Paul DeJong. I mean, he's actually playing really well now.
Yeah, he got off to that start. I went down and saw him about a week or so after he got sent back to Memphis. We had a really long conversation. He got real, you know, in depth, I think, comments about, you know, what he was going through and how he was going to try to fight his way out of it. And I think he's finally started to do that and turn around a little bit. Now, where it's going to lead, I don't know, because I'm not sure exactly what possible role he might have in St. Louis right now, the way that everybody else is kind of gelling a little bit. Maybe kind of be a DH or a late, you know, kind of slide around, he could move Edmund back to second and he could go into short in the late innings or something if you're ahead. But, you know, I think that the best thing for him, the best way for him to get back to the big leagues, whether it's in St. Louis or somewhere else, is just to do exactly what he's doing, which is keep his head down and work hard and try to, you know, hopefully get some results. And it's not even so much the home runs or the results. It's just about the way that he's swinging the bat and the way that, you know, he's kind of getting back in the rhythm of doing things the right way that he'd gotten kind of strayed away so far away from so over the last couple of years. So I'm happy for him that he's playing well and that hopefully he's going to give himself another chance to get back to the big leagues.
You know, I really congratulate him for saying, yeah, you know what, you want to send me down, that's great. I'm going to go down, I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to do that. There's a lot of big league players that wouldn't accept that assignment.
Well, he would have had to be released if he didn't do it. I mean, he had about a month. There was about a month left under the terms of the basic agreement where the Cardinals could option him, and he really had no choice if he wanted to continue playing, but to accept the assignment. Now, if he'd gotten past that 5 years of service time, which was, I'd say, he would have hit probably about a month later than they made the move, then he could have had the right to refuse the assignment and become a free agent. But, you know, I think he knew that he had to play better than he was playing. I mean, you know, everybody in baseball, you know, you're your own worst critic. You know, as a player, I mean, you think that, you know, everybody else has their own opinion about what you're doing, media included and fans included, but the player knows better than anybody else, and a player is going to be harder on himself than anybody else. So he knew he wasn't right. He knew he wasn't right, helping the team, and he knew he had to find some way to fix that.
Yeah. Speaking of that, somebody that a lot of folks here in St. Louis were down on, how about Matt Carpenter up in New York, man? That guy's turned it on.
I'm happy for him, too, because I think no matter what happens the rest of the season, and if he retires at the end of the season, at least his career is going to end on a little better note than it would have had it ended after the last couple of years in St. Louis. So I'm happy for him. And I think the Yankees, I give the Yankees credit for going out and getting him, because it's kind of like when they traded for Luke Voit a few years ago. You know, I mean, Carpenter's got exactly the kind of swing that's going to hit home runs in Yankee Stadium. And in some of those other you know, American League ballparks, which are smaller ballparks, I think some of the balls that he's hit for home runs in Yankee Stadium would be outs on the warning track in St. Louis. So I give the Yankees credit for figuring that out and for going out and getting him, and I give Matt credit for sticking with it and having some success. As I say, I'm happy for him that no matter what happens the rest of his career, he's got a little bit more of a positive way to end things here than how they ended in St. Louis.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Rob, thanks so much for joining us here on the program tonight. And, man, love talking baseball with you. Let's circle back and get back on it real soon.
Anytime. Happy to do it. Thanks.
All right. Thanks so much. That's Rob Marines. He's a Cardinal beat writer for STL Sports Page. You're listening to KMOX's Sports Open Line. My name is Greg Damon. We're going to do a little business.